There is but one thing that brings all humanity together, and that is their common desire to be happy. All of humanity have that common longing to have that happiness and have that contentment within their life. The Bible claims universal worldwide authority for that reason. It is the Word of God. It is a textbook. It is a manual for the soul. It is the only book that deals with man in their whole state, right from the very commencement to their end of life's journey. It deals with their whole condition. People all across the globe are on that pursuit for happiness, humanly speaking. They will never find it, though, in this world. It is not until they discover what genuine happiness is in accordance with the revealed Word of God. It is only then that one can truly be happy. This is a recurrent truth contained in Scripture. The Bible is real, it is relevant, and even today it is reliable. It is up to date. And all other teachings on the subject of happiness should be totally disregarded. Philosophies change. Scientists disagree. But in the midst of all this continual change in which we have been immersed in and which we have lived amongst even over this past year, the Word of God stands sure. Yesterday, today and forever, Jesus is the same. There's much change all around us. But God is still the same. In this psalm we have just read together, we see two groups of people. We see the godly and the ungodly. We see the happy and the unhappy. We see those who are blessed and those who are lost. The psalmist clearly shows that people are not happy. People that are not happy cannot find happiness in their life as they search for it in the wrong way. They go about it all together wrong. As we look closer at this psalm, we see how many people mistakenly approach the subject of happiness in a direct manner. Yet they have yet to learn that and realize that in the spiritual realm, such as the military realm, the best strategy is the indirect approach. And what do I mean by that, you could say this morning? Well, the Bible reveals to us that if you seek after holiness, after righteousness, then you will receive happiness. But if you seek only for happiness, desire this for yourself, you will not find it. The Word of God presents to us happiness that is real. Something that lasts. Something that continues, regardless whatever may come our way. Whatever we come up against, even as we journey through life. This morning, for a time, I would like us to meditate on this Psalm 1 together and considering the subject of genuine happiness. And in pondering this subject, I would like us to first of all draw your attention to the path of genuine happiness. We read there in Psalm 1 and the verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Well, this word blessed, as it is used here, can be translated happy. The word carries with it the sense of being found in a desirable condition, in contentment, in perfect happiness. This is what this word means. And when giving consideration this morning to the path of genuine happiness, it is important that each one of us note this one important fact. And it is important that we don't miss it. And that is this, that true genuine happiness does not depend upon our circumstances. Do we really believe this to be the case today? Is it not true that many people think that if our pockets be full of money, if the sun is shining upon us, young people as they study, if the exam results are good, well then all is great. However, if the opposite be so, if the bank balance is in the red, the weather is poorly, And while the exam results have left something of somewhat to be desired, how then can we be happy? How then can we be at peace? We believe human happiness to depend upon our circumstances, the events, the happenings within our lives. And if things work out as we plan, well then how happy we will be. What great peace we will have, what great contentment we will have if all works out together according to our plan. If not, what utter disarray we often find ourselves in. How could we ever find happiness in such a situation, oftentimes is said. It's a very important biblical principle that we should always keep before us. That genuine happiness doesn't depend upon any of these things. As we examine closely the verse 1 of our text this morning, we note that it does not say, blessed is the man who walks with godly men, or blessed is the man who seeks to be blessed, or blessed is the man who craves after happiness. No, men and women this morning, it says, blessed is the man who walketh not, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, the godly man or woman or young person this morning's happiness comes directly as a result of not partaking in any of these things. It is a side effect. It is the result, we can say, of true faithfulness, of truly following after God and His plan for our lives. This path of genuine happiness is not dependent upon one's circumstances. And if this is so, then how can we acquire it? The verse 1 of our text presents the pitfalls, the things there in which we ought to avoid. If you want to be happy, give no heed to the counsel of the ungodly, the world that has no time for God, no time for the things of God, no time for the people of God, a world that is in opposition to God, a world that doesn't even recognize God for who He is, for what He has accomplished, a world that desires not the things of God. The psalmist writes over in Psalm 10 and in the verse 4 these words: the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And Christian, this morning, you ought to run from the things of this world and run to Christ and walk with Him. There appears to be a progression here in this psalm, in this opening verse of this Psalm 1. We see a walking, a standing, and then a sitting. Psalm 1 and the verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth in, nor sitteth in. You see, there's a picture here emerging before us of the increasing grip that sin can have upon us all. Here it is evident. When one crosses the line, when that decline takes place within our heart and within our life, how quickly we degenerate down into the quagmire of sin. First of all, you're found walking with it, thinking you're in control. You will not allow this thing to take grip of your life. And then all of a sudden, you're found standing in it, no longer walking. Then as time progresses, you've advanced to the stage of being seated in sin, found firmly in sin's grasp. What a sad picture of the progression into sin that leads to ultimate paralysis. To many today, children of God perhaps, not possess that true happiness, that genuine happiness of heart and soul and of mind, because they are found paralyzed by sin. The path of genuine happiness is found in the avoidance and the evasion of involvement with all such sinful men and sinful practices. It is found only in the life of one who is separated from the sins of the world, found living a life that is faithful to God and to His Word. As we consider the subject of genuine happiness, and having considered the path of genuine happiness here, where this happiness is to be found, where it is not, consider with me also the persistence in this genuine happiness. In the verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we are those who are truly blessed this morning, who are truly happy, which, like those which are spoken of here in the verse 1, how then do we persist in that happiness? How then do we continue on? Well, surely verse 2 provides us the answer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It is the one who delights in the law of the Lord who will persist, who will be found in and continue in that state of happiness. He is that man, woman, or young person who is saturated in the Word of God. Tell me this morning, are you saturated in the Word of God? Did you even lift this book this morning prior to coming to the house of the Lord? Did you seek the Lord this morning before you come out? Perhaps before you even got out of bed, for a blessing, for a word for your soul, a word for your heart? Oh, your family members not saved, did you pray for them this morning? Did you say like one of old, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want to hear from you today, Lord. Child of God is saturated in the Word of God. They will have no desire for the ungodly and their ways. Rather, his delight will be found in the ways of the Lord. And I don't mean no desire for the salvation of sinful men, but rather no desire for the sins in which they are partakers of. The Bible, as the Catechism summarizes so aptly for us, is the Word of God, which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. A young man once testified, having been brought up through dispensational circles, how that after he studied the Scripture further in later life, how he felt spiritually bereft with regard to the teaching which he had received, as regard to the insignificance, as it were, as of the Old Testament. How people had been saved in many different ways throughout periods of time. Yet this morning, what comforts have we as believers, as we consider that the 66 books of this copy of God's Word that we have here on the sacred desk, or you have on your knee, every word is an important word. Every word is a word from God. It's a complete volume. The Old Testament and the New, the Law and the Gospel, all that we have need of. What we read of in the Old Testament is revealed for us there in the New. The Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to what Christ would achieve, and the New Testament saints by looking back to the accomplishment of Christ in redemption. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Do you underestimate the Word of God this morning? The Word of God, it gives genuine guidance, it breeds genuine happiness, blessedness, contentment in the souls and hearts and lives of the children of God. How does the child of God then persist in true happiness? We are found delighting in this Word, meditating upon it, the eternal Word, the incarnate Word, the incarnate Word. True believers, you see, don't read the Bible just because they have a mere intellectual interest in it, or they fear repercussions if they don't read it, or just because they know that they should. The children of God read God's Word because they delight in it. They delight in knowing God. They delight in fellowshipping with the God of the Bible. the delight in knowing more of the person and work of Christ and his many attributes, the desire to meditate in a day and night, because there's nothing to be likened to it. They continue in that blessedness, that happiness of God's truth, growing in grace day by day in a greater knowledge of him and the truth of his precious word. It is this blessedness of the knowledge of sins forgiven, the happiness of soul. For you today who are saved, it matters not what comes tomorrow. The story is told of a young pastor who went to visit a dear saint of the Lord as she lay terminally ill in hospital. Before praying with her, he asked her, was there anything in particular that she would like him to pray for? She paused for a moment and she says, well, young man, she says, of course I would desire to remain here longer with my family, with my loved ones. But pray as you will, because it matters not what becomes of me, because the Lord is in control. The Lord has a perfect plan for my life, and I'll be happy either way. And praise God this morning, as children of God, we're on the winning side. We can persist in genuine happiness day by day because we have been washed by the precious blood of Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. Our names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Tell me this morning, do you have this happiness, this blessedness in your life? Do you know what it is to be saved? This blessedness which the psalmist refers to. Do you delight in God? Do you delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, meditating upon his word, the joys and glories of eternity? If this is so, you will continue to know such blessing and that true happiness and contentment in your life, regardless what you may come up against. Nothing or no one can ever remove it from you. It is this genuine happiness, independent of circumstances, as we have sought to highlight throughout this message. Perhaps you cannot say you possess such happiness, such contentment this morning. You cannot delight in the law of the Lord. You cannot make yourself righteous, you see, in the sight of a holy God. Isaiah tells us in his prophecy, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And you know, I can't ever read that verse without thinking back to days in the parlour. And you know, filthy rags, and they were used to clean down the cows. And you know, they were so filthy. Once they were used and you looked upon them, and so filthy, they wouldn't even burn. Perhaps today you're a mechanic, or you've been taking your car to the garage even lately, and you see their pile of rags sitting in the car. Filthy. Men and women this morning, boys and girls, young people, that's what the Lord says of our very best. Filthy rags. There's nothing in or of ourselves that which will merit salvation. You're in a state of unhappiness and misery today because of your sin. With ungodliness there comes unhappiness, and ultimately eternal death and hell for all eternity. Oh, we have dwelt much of the happiness there is for the believer, for the child of God, the godly. But what is said of the ungodly there in verse 4? The text says the ungodly are not so. They are not happy. They are not blessed. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We see devastation. Devastation ahead for the ungodly. Devastation in this life. Reading an article, someone who had got involved in sin ended up in a very dark place, and the news report said this, listed his crimes, said they all eventually caught up with him. Oh, it's an unhappy place. It's misery not to be saved, not to know God.
we see the devastation there in verse 4. In the verse 5 we see this declaration, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In verse 6 we see the ultimate damnation, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you living today for the world, the flesh, the devil? Living as you please. Folks, today, in and of yourself, you cannot free yourself from such unhappiness. But you can rejoice in the work of the atonement, in the love that God has for sinners such as you and me. That wonderful verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Give heed to the law of God today. He bids you to come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We urge you to repent of your sin. Believe the gospel. Acknowledge him for who he is and for what he has done for sinners such as you. Then and only then will you know what it is to be blessed. You know what it is to be a beneficiary of such true and genuine happiness. We have considered the path of genuine happiness, the persistence in genuine happiness, but I would also like to draw your attention this morning to the proof of genuine happiness. There in the verse 3, and he said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, the proof of happiness is seen in one who is in a right relationship with God. One who is situated by the waters, planted by the rivers of the water, as the psalmist says here in this verse before us. And you see, a tree cannot plant itself. Oh yes, perhaps you've been walking out in the forest walks or going from place to place during even this past week, when you've been off into wooded areas, and you saw those, or have seen rather, those little seedlings and saplings that have fell and sprouted up randomly all over the forest floor. They grow without order, without direction. However, this tree here in which the psalmist speaks of has been planted by someone in a particular place for a particular time and a particular purpose. And the true Christian, men and women, this morning is planted by Christ upon his or her conversion. They put down roots. And I expect that most of you, if not all, are well aware that when a tree grows or a hedgerow grows, that there's usually more of it below the ground than there is above. Such is the root structure. And as believers and men and women, young people, young Christians, we must be spiritually rooted firmly in the things of Christ and draw upon the water of life, as there can be no fruit in our lives without roots. You know, oftentimes too many Christians are more concerned about how things look, about the leaves and the fruit, than they are with the roots. However, the roots are the most important part. I remember back to planting a hedge. The lane where we currently live, there's a fella helping me. We were working away and we were digging the holes and we were planting the hedgerow. We come across a part and there wasn't much soil. And he says, there's no point in planting that there, Simon. Ah, he says, stick it in, it'll do all right. Put a wee bit of something around it, it'll be fine. And you know, I drive past it every day and I see my mistake. It's dead. There was nowhere for the roots. And this gaping hole there's there in the hedge because the roots weren't right. And one who professes Christ and doesn't spend time daily in the Word and prayer, allowing the Spirit of God to feed them, they will be as that seed which sprung up and grew well for a time. As seen in the parable of the sower, then withers up and dies. You see, it's a problem with the roots when there's no fruit. Tell me when the storms blow in your life. You bend and bow. You're like a tree in the wind. Great pressure at times. Great heartache at times. But yet, because you're well rooted, you will stand firm in Christ and in His strength. We think of Job, all that he faced much more, I expect, than any of us will face in our lifetime. Death, devastation, disappointment, destruction, despised by his friends. And what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. May God help us as Christians. Will we ever get there? Will we ever be truly able to say those words and mean them from our heart? Come what may. Whatever we face, whatever the difficulty is, we'll still trust Him with all of our heart. Fruit in the Bible speaks of many things. To be a soul winner, someone who is fruitful rather, will be a soul winner, Romans 1:13. Will be of good character, Romans 6:22. Will be a good giver to the work of God, Romans 15:28. Tell me this morning, is there fruit in your life? Because this fruit is proof of the true and the genuine happiness that you are found in as a believer today. And the only way to find this genuine happiness is found in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the typical blessed and happy man here in this psalm which we have read together, who delighted to do his Father's will. Christ, the God-man, is the only perfect example of this godly man of which we read of in this psalm together this morning. I want to draw your attention to the connection of the Saviour's spoken words in John 14:6 as we conclude today. As we come to an end, you probably know the verse well. You can turn to it or note it down yourself. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Psalm 1, we have seen this morning the path of true or genuine happiness is only found in Him as the way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's only found in Christ as the way. We've noticed the persistence in genuine happiness. It is only found in Him as the truth, as we see Him in His revealed word. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And the proof or evidence of genuine happiness is found only in Him as the life. Without Christ, we're without hope. We're dead in sins. We're lifeless. But yet in Christ, He is the life. Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, our happiness this morning, our contentment, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of what we have faced in the year that has gone into eternity as it nears a close, or regardless of what we do face in this incoming year in the will of the Lord, it matters not to the children of God, because our genuine happiness, contentment, blessedness is all of Him. And while He is with us, we can go forward in His strength, casting our care upon Him. I trust each one today knows what it is to possess this genuine happiness of heart, soul, and mind, which is above all circumstances, that we can be found fed and fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ even today. I trust the Lord will take that which is of Himself this morning and use it for his divine honour and glory.